Hello, everybody. How are you doing tonight? I'm talking to you from the rainy Northwest. Oh my gosh, is it ever raining? Ew, it's just really, really skunky wet. What's it like where you are? This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm talking to you on this show called Radiance by Design, which is a show about you. And I'm hoping that you're going to call in and talk to me about what's going on in your world and what are you designing. One of the things we found with healing and so on lately is when we say by design, sometimes it's really difficult to know where, from what level of your own awareness and consciousness are you designing from. Most of us design from, our conscious affirmative hoo-ha and also very deep karmic things, cellular things, very, very unconscious or superconscious things. And so a lot of the work that we're doing wanting to become radiant on purpose is kind of exploring what you're designing from. Why would you be holding back at a deep level? Talking to somebody recently, we realized that some of the healing work that's required meant she had to really exhume deep within herself some self-judgments that had come from way back when. Oh my goodness, other lives and so on. The self-judgments are, when you live out karma, you live out lives, you live out responses because of this life and that life and so on. It gets kind of tangled up in there. Now, sometimes it takes quite a bit of time, for some of us anyway, to uncover where those feelings came from. And sometimes, I don't know if it really matters, and sometimes it really does. Because you just never know from one thing to another, do you? Whether you're not the same as I am, and I'm not the same as you, and we want to rush out and judge each other. You should have formed that consciousness and affirmed that well in advance so you wouldn't get into this pickle. But bottom line, you don't even know why somebody's stuff doesn't manifest as fast as somebody else's. So a lot of what we want to do is explore what's holding you back? What are you having to discover about yourself in order to do a lot of manifesting and healing and all kinds of things? And another thing I wanted, so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to go into the sacred geometric structures, which we always do. And I find we're getting much more potent about manifesting and healing in those structures. So some of you are telling me, I really appreciate that. The other thing is we talked to PMH Atwater on our show on Tuesday night, and oh my goodness, she's so inspiring. She was kind of the herald of the near-death experience, or one of them, early 70s, being, having had three of them herself, and really talking about the value and the consciousness, talking about what, oh goody, you're on the air, but just wait a sec, okay? The value of knowing when you have your near-death experiences, you can actually do what we were just talking about, exhume ways in which you've been afflicted or held back for a long, long time and find a huge amount of freedom from all that. That's just one of the tie-ins with that. So we'll talk a little bit about what she talks about in her book, which is called Children from the Fifth World. It's about the new kids. And about how the new kids tie in with the shifting flows of consciousness coming in through the universe. And how Bob and I were talking earlier about how our families very often come down for maybe, who knows, gazillions of years in kind of groups and who's the leader of the club that's made for you and me. Sometimes our families come in clumps and then act out various parts, and sometimes it doesn't work that way because, like individuals, I don't think you can ever count on it being one way or the other. But when PMH Atwater is talking about the new kids, she's talking about these kind of downloads or these flows of different kinds of spirits and how they work together to be a part of a changing society. So we're all over the place tonight, but not really. I mean, everything is coming from all over the place, from the universes and so on, time and space. But we're going to talk about what you're dealing with tonight, and we're going to do some manifesting. And we already have a caller. How exciting for me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. You took me before the meditation. Okay. That's fine.
Well, I figured I didn't want you to get exhausted, right, waiting.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. Anyway, this is my situation. I'm Susan from Brooklyn. We've spoken before. I speak every once in a while.
Sure. Welcome back to the show. It's
and
nice to hear
I'm in a music program, and it's associated with a clinic, and people would like me to move over and have my psychiatric services there. But I was a psychiatrist that I like somewhere else. But I don't like the program so much otherwise. And I don't know whether I'm ready to make this move yet. But
are you doing
music?
Are you doing music healing where you are? Are you experiencing that?
Yeah, it's like music therapy. So it's music healing, and it's also professional too. It's like kind of a combination program.
Isn't that wonderful? I think you should keep your separate psychologist or psychotherapist.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist, yeah. If you can, it's good for you to keep a separate one. I'm not sure why the guides are saying that. It's just that it seems much better for you to have more than one environment to go to for this. Something in you, talk about past lives, gets really stuck if you're right in the same milieu all the time. You see what I mean? You need to be able to change places.
I happen to like this psychiatrist extremely much. He seems like a very spiritual person. I think it has to do with the quality of the psychiatrist.
Well, I also think it's good for you to have more than one. You're not a Gemini, are you?
No, I have no Gemini in my chart, but I do like moving around to different environments. That's true. But do you think that I'm better off in this program where I go to groups or just to have a psychiatrist there? Because I'm there. If I just have a psychiatrist and don't have these groups, there might be a chance I might be able to get a therapist. Otherwise, I just have these groups and they seem a little bit worthless to me. What do you think I'm better off just, seriously, with this program where I have groups, but then I have lunch and it's like kind of a social thing, or just to go with what the psychiatrist suggested that I just take psychiatry there and then perhaps they can get me a therapist?
I think you're better one-on-one some of the time, and also when you're doing sound healing things in the other place, if I got this right, that's what it looks like to me, you have enough group activity there. Sometimes in your empathy, the group stuff just gets you overwhelmed.
Yeah, I don't like it. It seems to be rather unfocused, and there's a lot of people there, and I feel a little claustrophobic. I should try to do what I can do to get a one-on-one and keep the psychiatrist, huh?
That's what I think, yeah. And just especially for now, Susan, especially for now, because you're going to change, expand, and grow, and you can change entirely next year, you know. You're not going to stay
the same.
Right,
so that's what I was thinking. I think that the move over there is premature.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think I might want to do it, but I think it's premature.
Yeah, and you'll know because I think your empathy is going to be a lot more manageable and you're going to have exhumed, remember we were talking about that at the beginning, some old reactions that when you've brought those up and they shift, then you can be in a group all you want and you might do it just for a change of pace.
Do you think that any of the psychiatrists in this place where they do music are any good? Because I really like the psychiatrist that I have right now, you know? And do you think that any of the ones that in this place where they do music are as good as the one that I have now?
I think they are, a couple of them are almost, it's just that I'm saying that you've already established a certain amount of confidence and trust. And then you'd have to reestablish all that so it'll feel like you're all over the place. And I don't think that's a good idea for you right now.
Right. I think it's a matter of timing, too. Yeah.
Yeah, in a while you can change all you want. You're going to be much more powerful and much more, comfortably mutable later. But right now you kind of got to dredge a few more levels of yourself to get to where you want to go.
Right. Yeah, because this is even a new situation for me where I'm in right now.
Yeah.
My gut says to me to stay where I am.
Yeah, I think so too. And you're also, my gut says you are doing a pretty good job these days, kind of stepping forward and starting to really, get a foundation in yourself because you've wanted to change a lot of things. And it looks like it's starting to get really strong. Don't mess it up right now.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, honey, thank you for calling.
Okay. You're welcome. I'll speak to you again. Okay,
okay. Bye. I just have to say something that's amusing to me is there is a show on TV. Well, frankly, I think it's very weak and weakly written, but the pilot just made me howl with laughter, and it's called Go On, and it's about a grief therapy group and a guy who is sent to it because he was messing up after his wife died and he was in radio and so on. But the pilot, to me, is hilarious, so we'll see what you guys think about that. So anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to start off with a meditation, and we're going to do our sacred geometrics. We're going to do some healing work, and we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about when you call in, or what I want to talk about. But we're going to talk about the changing times, how to, we're going to use some of PMH Atwater stuff and how to relate to these new kids. What do the new kids demand? Why are they so off the wall half the time? How can we help them find their fulfillment and anything else, as we said before? We might even be doing some of that deeper work where we find out what kind of, oh, past lives or other souls on your soul path are you working out old reactions with, and then we'll unhook some of that and see if that doesn't help you find more of your real self. We're amazing beings. Let's unlimit all together. Okay, take a couple of deep breaths and close your eyes unless you're riding your unicycle on the edge of a cliff. That'd be quite an art, wouldn't it? Let's call in a golden ball above your head about 2 miles. And below your spine, another golden ball about 40 feet. And now drop your golden filament right from the upper golden ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. Good. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided gold pyramid. And upside down, meeting it point to point, another four-sided gold pyramid. So that you have two pyramids hitched together, top and bottom, point going up, point going down, eight-sided octahedron. And inside that octahedron, create a beautiful crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your octahedron. And then inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron. And that's a three-dimensional Star of David. And when you've got yourself all set up in this amazingly complex but simple structure, spin and spin and spin. And as you spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin, see in front of you a beautiful magical screen. And it's a blank screen and you're going to create the movies for it. Now the first movie you're going to create is you becoming who you're, this is you. You're the star of a film about you. And it's you becoming who you dream of becoming. And I always say the same thing, don't I? I always want to become consciously multidimensional at any given time, coming from the heart, expanding, growing, glowing. And whatever it is you want to become is great to see yourself becoming that and more, and when you really feel yourself glowing in your success, wrap that whole scenario in light, move it over to the side, and let it kind of gestate there so it really becomes firm within you. And now the second screen is you creating something you really want to create. And I used to say I want to do television. Now I really am more interested in kind of a multimedia presentation. I have it all in my mind's eye. And what do you want to create? Do you want to create home and family? Do you want to create partnership? Do you want to create a business, a book, a movie, a CD, around the world trip, spaceship trip? So you see all the resources, all the people, the time, the fun, the enthusiasm, the focus, all flowing to you, flow, 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 flowing to you. And as it does, you see all of this whole project that you're wanting to develop is coming together. Oh, my gosh. Look at all the levels and the pieces. And as it comes together, you go, woohoo, I was successful, wrap it in light. Oh, here's what we want to do before we wrap it in light and push it to the side. We want to see all the resources, the people, the time, and everything, the money coming together in order to sustain your project for as long as it needs to be sustained or wants to be sustained. Good. And then you give it a big hug, wrap it in light, throw it to the side. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. And the Galactic Healing Center is a very magical place. And all we're asking for is for our, I think I'll do a oneness blessing thing here. But in any case, what we're asking for is a table, and we're asking for our healing team. Those are the beings of consciousness that circle around you to go round and round the table. Good. To be round the table. Okay, now the first person that comes in to lie on the table is you, or in my case, me. So hop up on your table and lie down. And what is it you'd really like to work on? What do you want to have done? If you know, you tell the team or ask the team nicely. And otherwise, have them ask you, right? And tell you what you need to have happen. And now we're putting them on the table, or they're working around you at the table. And my energy is just buzzing like mad. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Yeah. It's really interesting. I want to deepen into, just as we were talking about earlier, into more of who I really am, sort of stepping past all the bondage that comes from past experiences and sort of getting into that freer place. So that seems to be what they're handling with me. What's going on with you? Good. Now wrap that in light. You can feel the energy moving round and round in your body. Wrap it in light. Move it over to the side. And now we have a fresh healing table. And now we're having somebody come in who's in... She's got a lot of pain. That's right. Oh, this is somebody, I actually don't know this person at all, but they're showing we have a person here who's got some really awful bone problems. The bones are breaking. The bones are, it's osteoporosis. But this person's not as old as you would expect her to be for having the amount of osteoporosis. Because they sure are coming in, lying on the table, and that her leg broke very easily, and arm broke very easily. She's really had a horrible time with this. So let's ask our team, our healing team, to amp up the levels of consciousness. That means we'll get healing team surrounded by their healing team, surrounded by their healing team, going up layers and layers and levels of consciousness to come on in and work with this person. She's a really kind woman, a very kind woman. But there's something metabolically wrong. Oh, I think it might have to do with some sort of toxic. It's like she got caught in some kind of radiation problem. Anyway, her bones break easily. And she practically has to live in a bubble just to be okay. So they're working immediately with her spine, with her... spinal fluid, with her bone marrow. There we go. And then they're also working with her organs, her liver. Just a second here. Anyway, they're working with a lot of her different organs, including the thyroid. And there's something in the brain, part of the brain where the metabolic system are run. And we're asking to help this woman's metabolism to sort through. Okay, so now they're working the energy. Now, who have you got on the table, and what's happening with them? Right. And now they're getting her... All right, so we're going to wrap her in light, and they're going to keep working on her as we move this healing over to the other side. Here's another person who's come in, and she's very heavy, and she's having an awful time with both depression and sort of a crumbling crumbling vertebrae, which is what it's kind of a catch-22. People get heavy like that because they can't move, and they can't move finally because they're heavy. So it's like a real conundrum here. So let's go into her. We're asking the team to replicate themselves. And they want to bring, now this is interesting, okay, because we talked about wanting to get into beings from different parts of their soul path that might still have an influence. So let's do what they do in the Oneness Blessings is we're going to call in, as well as the healing team, we're going to call in the presence of her ancestral links. That's it. And because there's a weight in her that's been passed down through the generations. I'm not going to spend the whole time and try to parse the entire connection. But they're calling in, and you can do this too. What they teach in the Oneness Blessings is you call in your ancestors. Call in all your ancestors. And ask your ancestors to pray to be released from their attachments as well. Now, when I do this with this woman, I notice that her back hurts. We call in the ancestors, and her back hurts a lot. I'm going, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good. And it's not good that her back hurts. It's that they're showing me that the tie-in with her back and the ancestors is very, very powerful. And we're asking the ancestors that are all there, and there's just like a huge multitude. How many ancestors do you have? How many do I have? Bazillions, you guys. So we've got this multitude, and we're asking them to pray to be released from their own attachments that are coming down the pike. Because there's no reason, apparently, for us to carry the same lineage information in our DNA. I don't know that for sure, but that's what I'm reading and hearing and so on. Okay, that's it. So we're going to have this disconnect come between the ancestors and my person on the table, cellular structure. Good. Okay, and we're asking for a clearing. We're asking for a release. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it seems to be more painful as we call it up, but it often happens that way. Okay, so we're just pulling it off. Good. And now we're going to wrap her in light with all her ancestors who are still there. And we're going to send it over to the side and let it continue working. And now we're going to do our political one. I want to do a whole bunch of people, but maybe we'll be doing you as you call in and work with your ancestral link or work with people or beings in your other other sections of your soul path and see if we can't move some things. So let's have a fresh table. Let's have a fresh healing team. And this time, we want those healing teams to be multi-layered again, just bring in as much as possible. And we're going to bring in a political issue. Well, the obvious one is the sequestering, isn't it? Is it true or isn't it true? What is the big problem? Well, I'm not a politico. You know that. I've always said that. And some of you know more. But there's a lot of shenanigans and there's an awful lot of corruption going on out there. And we know what the lobbying business is. So you got this, the stalemate between the two parties and a lot of blame going on. There you are. So let's see if we can't see. It's always the same thing to me. It doesn't matter what the political issue is. Guides want to do the same thing over and over, which is to call in a really fair, transformative light and to call in realms and realms and realms of the guides, the angels, and even the ancestral links and ask to experience this amazing harmonizing energy coming down, and you can bring it down through the top of your head. down into your heart, spin it round and round in the heart, shoot it out your hand, or your arms and your hands, and start sending it up through the feet or the perineum of everyone that you could imagine that's involved in the economic contest of wills that's going on in Congress and in the House. There you go. And in Obama. That's it. And we're sending that up through the beings, because what's the art of living is learning how to be just, to be expressing your dharma, to be moving through, I don't know what else you'd say, I would say learning to love, learning compassion, learning the art of constructing a much more conscious reality. There you go. And we're sending this light up through being so we can drop defensiveness and we can begin to see for one another instead of just for ourselves. There you go. And I'm asking that it be moved through people so that it can shift the way the sequestering is interpreted, so it's for the greater good. And bring that light up more and more. Turn it up, guys. All right. And now, good. And now, let's wrap that in light. Yeah, wrap it in light. And one other thing I'd like to do is let's put Syria on this table. It's really awful what's going on over there, the amount of murdering, killing, all kinds of people. People are short of food. I even heard a story about people who are digging out old graves and hiding in there because they don't have any place to be and they don't trust anyone. So I think just to really build this light again, call it in from the universe. You know that there's a lot of magic and amazing transformative light. Call it in from the universe again, back into the top of your head, round and round in your body, in your heart. Fill your heart up through your arms, out your hands. And now let's keep patting it all over Syria, up through the perineums. Forgive us for being so personal here. Of the beings in government, I think his name is Assad, and through all the rebels and intervention by other foreign supposed assistants, let's just see if we can bring a higher level of consciousness up through all these beings, and certainly love and compassion for all the people that are trying to keep themselves and their families safe. And let's just wrap that in light. Always send your blessings. I guess send food too, right? Wrap it in light. Okay, and then move that over to the side. And now let's just call in the light. This is the third time we're calling in the light. Run it through your head, your neck, and down into your heart, down through your arms and your hands, and start patting places all over the world, all over our globe, where there's sickness, there's poverty, there's corruption, there's war, whatever it is. There's the destruction of the land. Yeah. And have that move round and round and round the earth, round and round our globe. Destruction of the weather zones and the atmosphere. Let's just fill them full of the light that serves the entire Mother Earth and all her inhabitants. Round and round and round. Come back up. Have that light come back up your hands, your arms, your heart, your head. Pop out into the great central sun. And now close off the Galactic Healing Center. I want you to jump into your star tetrahedron and start spinning and spinning and spinning. That's it. And then meet with me here. Here we are back at square one, and I want you to call in and ask your questions. Talk about what's going on in your world. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Now, some of you don't want to call in, so that's okay, but I see several of you are working on issues. So let's take us ourselves on a little tour here deep inside yourself. Well, first of all, I want to talk about the children. Children of the Fifth World by PMH Atwater, and it's called A Guide to the Coming Changes in Human Consciousness. And she's saying that the children that were born from 1982 till now are new children. And she said to drop all. And it's kind of interesting how she writes this. She's quite a feisty character. And it's up to podcast now, so you can listen to it if you like to. But she's really feisty, and I'm going to have her back on soon because she has a lot more information than we could get into an hour. But these children that have come in are, she calls it, they're here to, she's got a whole mapping here of how she's got, they're here to help infuse our cultures with, for example, tolerance, adaptability, and humanitarianism. Those are the things that have been coming up. They're millennial voices. I don't know what all the, I'm not very good at dropping the names like that. But she's saying that basically they're coming in and they're, they can be really awful. So they're amazing. They're very psychic. They can't be taught very easily. They have to be mentored because they seem to feel, and if you've ever met any kids like this, because I sure have, where they say they already know things, and what are they doing at school because they already know everything, and the problem with that is that they know a lot, that they're ancient and very, very sensitive and psychic beings, but if they don't learn stuff, then they will go around just having a whole lot of airy-fairy notions and self-aggrandizing and entitlement, and they're not just the 47%. They're entitled because they feel like they're important. And then what did we all do? We raised some of these kids by telling them, oh, they were wonderful, good job. We didn't say to them, move your tushy and work hard in order to, we wanted to praise them so they felt good about themselves. But their PMH Atwater was saying, and she said a lot in this book that's really all about the kind of society and the corruption in our, all our systems, our political systems, our economic systems, and so on. And she's in the meantime, these kids are inflicted or afflicted with too much TV, with too much of, instead of relating out the window, they're always relating to the screen. And she claims that that's the first group on our planet that's had to grow up like that. Like a lot of us learned it when we were older. And these guys have this whole thing about it being, I guess she says for them to be healthy and for them to be wildly creative, which they could be, they need to be in touch with earth and natural rhythms and natural cycles, where they could actually experience in their, you know how you're knowing when you've got your fingers in the dirt and you're knowing is increased. It's not all in your head. It's like the knowing of how the dirt feels and the fact that seeds come up and create things and so on. And she said these kids are really, really important in the history of the planet because they have the capability to move very, very fast and to comprehend more than one level or dynamic dimension at a time. But if they're not trained and supported and fed properly and helped to be in nature, they're kind of a lost group. And then there's so much violence and there's so much lying and cheating because they learn how to sort of like convince people. I mean, it's really, really an interesting book. So she's talking about how they are, and then she talks about the ADD, dyslexia, autism and all that kind of stuff. She thinks that it's all a part of our growing consciousness, but also some of it is because they're afflicted by too much electronics, not just the electronics, but the startle response, for example, on television where they have so many startles per, what, minute, Bob, was that it? So many startles per minute so that you keep people's attention. Well, the bottom line of that is that their attention span is dropped. So the whole thing is changing our species in a huge way. And these kids are two things. They're brilliant, capable of handling way more with their minds than a lot of us were, but they're also more disrupted by some of the other advantages of these times. But when she was talking, I was so aware of, like, we're living in the time of the shift, and that they're a part of this shifting vibrational human consciousness that's coming through. And, you know, like the Mayans talk about these shifts that are every 26,000 years or 5,200 years, and Galexis was talking about how there's these cycles that are 12 years. And so we've got cycles within cycles within cycles. And in those changing times, you get different downloads of different sort of collective drives. Remember in the 60s, some of us remember the 60s and how wild and woolly that got? Well, that was kind of a collective influence and a collective download that brought up the rock music and the shifting frequencies of the electronic music and all that. That was just one of those phases that came through as a rather huge pulse in the human collective. It's so interesting, isn't it? Anyway, her stuff, PMH Atwater, her stuff is amazing. She's done, I haven't got hold of it yet, but she's done a book called what is it called here? I think it's called Future World or something, and she said that it works like I want to get hold of this, and you might also. She said it works like a labyrinth. When you go through the book, it puts your consciousness through the same kind of shift as it would go through if you were walking a labyrinth. So she wanted her book to be an effective tool to create a consciousness movement in people who read it. So I think that sounds like it would be a good thing. I'm hoping to become a multidimensional conscious person coming from the heart by reading her book. What do you think? Okay. So my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And when you call in, we'll have my guides and angels will work with you and your guides and angels and your higher self. And we will help extricate you from some of the difficulties that you're in. The woman that I brought into, the heavy woman with the very bad back, it was really interesting to me because when we brought in her ancestral links, the pressure on that woman, something occurred to me here too. The pressure on that woman is tremendous because that pressure that's been coming down through the pike in her cellular structures and her DNA and so on is like a heavy load. And I realized she's also Jewish. And I'm going, wow. And they were always, as a species, as a culture, they were very often under a great deal of threat and had to keep being kind of like the Dalai Lama, huh? On the move, always working with their minds and their keeping themselves a little bit mobile. I know that that's a bit of a cliche, but some of it is really true, that they've had a fear of being abused for their beliefs and so on. It's very interesting. We have a lot of streams like that, but I'm feeling like this one who was lying on the table has a lot of that intercellular structure. So we could be using New Age epithets and throw them at her and say, oh, you're being a victim. Or we could say that the actual history, the ancestral link, is a lot about being persecuted or, run out of town, that sort of thing. And that's a lot to do with why she feels weighted down. That's really interesting. We should work with that with her. Okay, so call in and let's see what you're working with yourself. What's happening in your world, and how do you feel about the political stuff that's going on? How do you feel about this administration? How do you feel about Syria? How do you feel about multidimensionality? How do you feel about your own consciousness? Let's get to work here. Okay, so I'm going to take a look at this. You know what's interesting to me? I've been seeing a lot of ads lately saying people aren't paying enough attention, aren't supportive enough for mental health. Mental health is not getting enough support. And then you get people with guns that are shooting things up and people up, and that are proven to be unwell, or they're on medications and the medications have a suicidal component to them, and so on. And I'm glad you called in. I'm going to finish this talk when you're done, so you're on the air.
Well, hi, Veronica. My name is Ray. I'm calling from Montana, and, you know, I'm looking for some help as to how to heal up or speed my healing from a surgery that I recently had, and it's been going really slow for me, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts about how I could help myself.
Did you say you're from Montana?
Yes.
Oh, well, welcome to the show, Ray. Let me see.
Thank
here.
You.
Was it back surgery?
No, I had a hernia repair.
Okay.
And it's just been going really slow for me, the healing.
How long has it been? You're also quite sad. I don't think it's just about the operation. How long has it been since you had your surgery?
It's been just a little over 3 months. And normally, these things can heal up in just a few weeks, like 6 or 8 weeks. And you're right. I've been going through some emotional clearing and cleansing that have had a fair amount of sadness involved with it.
Yeah, because I think that's, I mean, it's sort of interesting because when I look into your body-mind, I go, oh, my goodness, you have such heartache that you're trying to work through, and you're doing it, but that could actually retard because, you know, it takes a lot of energy to heal ourselves emotionally. You have a lot of grief. You know that?
Oh, yes, you bet. Just a collection of, 62 years of a lot of things, so...
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Because, first of all, how's your diet? I want you to take more zinc. Do you take zinc?
You know, I have been working on improving my nutrition with juicing and live food. You know, I can always do better, so.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure you have it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I would have to look at the zinc and see. You know, I had some cold medicine that involved zinc.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard of that, like a lozenge of throat or cold medicine, I should say.
Yep, that's good stuff, usually. But
oh,
the thing I'm looking at here, Ray, is that there's something about your system, and you've just expressed what it is. You're saying you're juicing and all that. That you're a man whose system is changing. It's like when the ocean changes its current, its tides, everything gets kind of weak, you know. And you're changing a lot of things, and it's really important that you deal with your, I want to say, grief and loss and emotion, because that's been going on off and on in your whole life. And I want you to make sure
yes.
you're taking enough basic minerals. But as you're healing like this, it seems much harder for your physical to just throw itself back together. It's not because you're old, because
yes.
you're not, you know.
It's
because your tides are turning, darling. And I think that you could speed up your physical healing by really getting a little bit more firm about your emotional healing. Are you seeing anybody about that?
Uh-huh.
Are you seeing a counselor?
You know, I've talked to some of my medical help about that,
mm-hmm.
and just hearing you talk to me will probably help me make some more effort there. So I think it might be a good idea.
Yeah, and you know what you can do, Ray? I don't know how you feel, but, you know, people at home, a lot of you already do this, but I would just write like a wild man. Just see if you can write or type like mad anything you're feeling and get it up and out. Because what you've got is a collection of old feelings, and they're pretty volatile, meaning they'll
yes.
probably pop up into your consciousness. You'll be able to yank them out. And sometimes just that presence alone okay, so some of that, just your awareness of it alone and start pulling some of it out of your body mind and stop distracting your body from its healing. You know, it's kind of it's kind of bubbly stuff in you, as if it's off and on your whole life rather than one major episode, you know, or two, right?
Right. That's correct. Okay.
Was your mom real? Tell me this: was your mom really hard on you?
I came from a real dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
through the 50s, you know, and I guess a lot of people were. And yes, a lot of problem with an alcoholic mother. And then a very distant stepfather.
Yeah, because they're showing the mother right behind you. So that's the final thing I'll say, because we need to change. But the mother, I would write about her. I would write about how you felt. You don't even have to explain it. Just go, I felt abused. I felt lost. I felt I had to shut down. I felt scared of you. I felt, just get all that stuff out. Because you're on the move. It's starting to move through you, honey, and it's going to move real fast if you, you know, pull the chain, just keep pulling the stuff out. And you've got a counselor right nearby, and I think you should go to him periodically.
Okay, great, great. Well, thank you so much. That you're just right on there. I sure appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the call, and thank you for listening.
You bet.
Okay. Bye, Ray. So that's interesting as well. When we, just about any of our feelings, even my friend, I keep going back to the woman who was lying on the table. Thank you. The woman who was lying on the table had all the pressure from the ancestral link. She has a ton of emotion in her that has come down the pike. Sometimes we take on, in Ray's case, he's got some really legitimate reasons, but maybe some of those are from old genetic, old lineage stuff as well. But in her case, it's like she has a real weighty number of emotional influences pouring down on her from a whole bunch of ancestral links. So it's really interesting. Is an exercise that you might want to do, all of you, is wrap yourselves in light. Really just make sure that you're wrapped in light so that you don't take each other's stuff on. And then ask to feel the presence of the lineage in your history and all your ancestors and so on. Really ask to feel what it is, and you're going to feel their presence. And remember, this is what the Oneness Blessings teach, and I do love the Oneness Blessings, oh my goodness. And they teach you how to call it in, and then they say, now, tell the ancestors to ask for clarity and freedom, ask to be released from what they're carrying, because that's something that doesn't happen. We sort of just go on thinking that we're all attached to whatever it was. There's so much talk these days about karma, that we can actually step out of our karma. And I think this is one approach to doing it. Jack Hawley, who wrote Bhagavad Gita, A Walkthrough for Westerners, talked a lot about karma being, what did he call it? Knowing what's karma, taking action, and learning to love. Those three things. So I'm looking at the ancestral links here, and I'm going, okay, feeling the weight. Oh, that's the karmic stuff. That's just weighing my lineage, okay? Taking action, getting it to release itself, telling them that they have the ability to release themselves from you. So you're taking the action and then loving them all. Because it's not about who's wrong. It's about the fact that we've all kind of blindly carried on carting all of this hoo-ha with us, thinking that we have to live our lives, life after life after life, in this trap. And I really don't think we have to do it anymore. I think because the veils have thinned, we're able to see beyond very easily these days, and these new kids that we're talking about are very capable of seeing beyond. They're less impressed with staying in the third dimension because they can see beyond death. They see death as a portal. when we see karmic stuff, people are seeing that they don't have to be in bondage to one another or abused by all that. It's really interesting. These are interesting days that we're in. They're really complex. They're very volatile. There's a lot of people living and dying and so on really fast, but there's a lot of people who aren't particularly worried about that. So what do you think about that? Now, we've got enough time for one more caller. Are you going to call in and ask a question about your life? Are you going to call in and tell me about your particular understanding of your own karma? I'm going to get her on again. I'm not really sure who's coming up on my radio show this week, although we may have another Oneness Blessing on. I don't know yet. Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock is going to feature somebody else who's making a difference on the planet. I don't know who it is. So anyway, call in and ask a question. Otherwise, I'm going to do one more healing thing with someone, and we're going to say goodnight. Let's see. This one is a man, and he's got a terrific amount of depression. Oh, my goodness. And I see, you know what I see with you? This is a fellow who's feeling like he's getting middle-aged, and he's got, he just feels listless, listless, listless. Now, Ray talked about how he had had emotional abuse as a kid from an alcoholic mother. This friend also had a lot of that kind of stuff. But what happened is he developed a very mushy base as a little kid. He was very unsure of himself and didn't know who to trust. So he became fairly amorphous, meaning he could get along with just about anybody. But it's really interesting because now in his later years, he's got this real depression. And I think that the depression is coming by the looks of things that comes from him. It's a collection of unspent feelings. It's got a lot of anger about self, anger about how I deserve this. He's got this whole deservability thing going on. So what we're going to do is go into his body, mind, this mushy red chakra. If you're really depressed, you can bet your red chakra is not so hot right now. You know, that's the one where you're manifesting and your ability to create money, your zest for life, your base animal instincts, all of that. If it's kind of a mushy, sloppy, almost red color, you don't really have much passion for life, do you? So that's what this guy is like. So I want you to look at your own. And we're talking about his depression, I'm saying, his lack of clarity at a very deep level about who he is suddenly, his body-mind is suddenly saying, that's not going to work for me. And the clarity has to happen, otherwise people can't live in this kind of drifting thing and stay, oh, poignant and hardworking and stuff. They start to get tired, worn out, doubt themselves, because you can quite often live under these dysfunctions for so many years, and all of a sudden you just get really weak. So I'm looking at him, and I'm saying to all of you, focus on your base chakra, right? Make it bright, clear red. And some of you have like a really bright, kind of a goldy yellow light in the center of that. What have you got in the center of your red chakra? Make it really, really bright. So my friend who's very, very depressed, we're seeing it as it brightens up. As it brightens up in the base of his spine, we see that red light running right up the spine. Okay, and the red light, make it red, make it run all the way up the spine and right into the brain and give your brain a shot of really bright light. Good. Because the thing is you cannot be, you know, one of the things that we are as a human being is someone who's always trying to be better at who we are. But if you have no concept and no idea about who you are at a deepening level, it's not going to stay the same in your 20s and then again in your 30s and in your 40s unless you're, you know, a brilliant writer or some sort of creative genius and you know what it is. Okay, so as you go in there and brighten up your red light and allow yourself to go farther into who you really are, I think our depression can decrease. You might need a little help, get some tyrosine, some 5-HTP. get Magnificent Mind at any age or something like that. Do brain chemistry, and you will feel better. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, check my website, veronicaentwistle.com, because it's fairly new. Wonderful Mike is fixing it up. Have all kinds of things going on there. Also, I love the Oneness Blessing. Check out the Oneness University for ways of changing your brain by having a transmission to touch your head. It's just the most amazing stuff. And, if you have any feedback on this show or paradigm shifters or suggestions for guests or just all around joie de vivre, hello, VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, or if you want a session with me and my guides and angels, love to talk to you. There's an Ask Veronica button on my website, and you can just say hello, ask me questions. Thank you so much for listening. Take a deep breath and send blessings to one another. Good night.